This is an international podcast transmission. Is anyone out there? If you're listening, you've reached the No Fixed Agenda podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to No Fixed Agenda. I'm your co-host, Jeff Stoner. Sorry, Omar could not be with me today. And typically, I don't really do an intro for our random thoughts. We pretty much just get right into it. And this ended up being a surprise random thought for us. We had a guest in the show that just was supposed to just have a regular conversation, and it ended up being a conversation about everything and anything. And I figured, let's just make this a random thought. So without further ado, and welcome back, Hector Rodriguez.
This guy over here. Who we got over here? I don't know. Who is this dude?
Since the last time you were in here, which was roughly about a year ago, I think, at this point. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, time's flying then.
You've traveled.
You've been all over the world.
I have been.
I just want to be, I know I'm not small enough to be your carry-on, but I can definitely be bag check, dude. Like,
where have you been recently? And
why?
Because it's pretty much for Amazon still.
Yeah. Everything this year has been Amazon. I do have some personal trips coming up in the next 4 or 5 weeks, but I've been to England, Germany. So I've been to London, Wales, Manchester, Birmingham, Aberdeen, in Scotland, Edinburgh. Been so many places.
It just blends together.
Yeah. Prague. I went to Prague. Yeah. That was super cool.
Like, some of those spots, have you ever been to at all before? And do you get a chance to, like, cruise around a little bit?
Like, I'd never been to Prague. Germany, I had been to. I go to London more than anywhere. But yeah, we work, and then we get to go out. And
as the kids still get to go with, family still get to go with you just a little bit here and there? Especially now that, is Vegas out of school now?
The
girls got summertime going on right now?
They do. So Saturday, so 2 days, I'm flying to Puerto Rico. So that'll be vacation. And then I just found out I'll be going to Madrid in middle of July. And so plan is to take them.
Dude, that's awesome.
This is all for Amazon?
Puerto Rico is for me. Madrid will be with Amazon.
Okay.
Yeah.
With your department, Amazon, do you guys have to deal with any of the tariff shit that's been going on and everything else with how the London manufacturer, or the London shipping, all that stuff happens? Or do you even notice that stuff at all?
Not in my specific role. My role is more around how do I help reduce the damages that happen inside the building? Mm. How do I lessen that? And how do I get those items continue going forward?
Yeah.
So we call it problem solve. How do I reduce problem solve packages in Amazon? And one of the biggest buckets in problem solve is damages.
We used to call them, there was a term for it in logistics when they just took a shit. Like, a shipment came in, even for Amazon, it would literally sit like in a morgue. That's what it was. Morgue shipments. And so you get across, it's like something's wrong with the shipment. And they would sit, and you'd be surprised, dude, thousands of dollars, dude, sitting in some freaking satellite warehouse, dude. It's just sitting there because it's either the label got ripped off and they don't know where it was going, it was damaged or nicked and the customer doesn't want it anymore. And so it just literally sits there. After, I don't know, every 90 days it would go through it and they would call it. And Amazon was number one provider, dude. When I say number one provider, they were like, keep it.
So that's the question. Yeah. So when this happens and those things don't get touched, like, do they eventually get returned back to manufacturers? They get sold off to employees? Like, what happens with this stuff? Like,
now where you're going is exactly the world I'm in. For example, one of the things that I've actually been in San Diego a lot as we're testing tech, let's say you bought an iPhone, headphones, and a charger, a cable. So you bought three items. Let's just say the cable broke for some reason, snapped in half or cut in half or something. Our tools would not allow in the Amazon, like we're not allowed to break the order. So all three items would have to go back and get, and you'd get refunded. Now, or very soon, hopefully everything works as expected, we'll be able to say, hey, Jeff, your cable, we're going to get your replacement. We had an issue. But the iPhone and what did I say? Headphones?
Yeah.
The iPhone and the headphones will still get delivered later today. So rather, so it's going to reduce the amount of stuff we're sending back because now we can split and you will know these two went forward and then oops, there was a mishap here.
Yeah.
But no worries, you're getting refunded or it's going to get replaced.
So when that stuff happens though, in the past, Amazon would be looking at the value of the return a lot of times and the value of the product and be like, you know what? It's going to cost me freaking $5,000 to get it back to the manufacturer. Product's only worth $1,000. What are you guys doing in that scenario?
We're getting better at it, but there's enhancements coming that will update in our logic. For example, like we'll have a hair tie. It will cost us, let's just say it costs us $5 to send it from the delivery station in San Diego back to a fulfillment center when the hair tie is worth 99 cents.
Yeah.
But we do it. We will send it back.
Wow.
So we do have opportunities in some things to just improve our logic, to just say donate it or destroy it.
Destroy it.
Yeah.
Expose it.
Yeah. A lot of it's destroyed, dude. And so you sit there. I used to have contracts with Office Depot, Staples, Home Depot, all of them, Amazon, non-conveyor belt items for Amazon, which would be like treadmills, TVs, all that stuff that doesn't fit on a conveyor belt. And they'd be like, destroy it. And they would have to show proof of destruction. And you're sitting there destroying a perfectly fucking good TV, dude. But because the customer, the box was damaged and the customer's, I don't want that shit. And it'd come back to us and Amazon would look at it or whoever the contract was would look at it and be like, destroy it.
Interesting.
Where, I guess back to answer your other question, when we, let's say, for example, a bad example, but it will, you'll get it. But let's just say you ordered a 12 pack of soda and one of them busted. We would not send you 11 of a 12 pack.
Right. Mm.
So in that instance, that would get sent back to, it's called a reload center. It gets sent back to a reload center. And then they'll assess it and they'll go, oh, it has 11 out of 12 cans. So rather than a donate or destroy or dispose of that, those sodas, it could turn into a warehouse deal. And maybe somebody, so let's just say, I don't even know what a 12 pack of soda, let's say that costs $10, right? Making it up. Maybe they'll make an Amazon warehouse deal that, hey, we'll sell you 11 out of 12 sodas for 50% off. So you'll get it for $5.
Yeah.
And so they'll recoup it that way. A lot of times when you see that it's called Amazon warehouse deals, it's things like that, or maybe it's like a book and the corner's bent or something. Wait,
yeah. How do you see page five?
But at least we'll be transparent.
How have I not seen that though? I've never even seen the Amazon warehouse deals.
Yeah, I could show you.
Yeah. Really? They're out there, dude. Actually, yeah. They have them in bulk where you could actually buy. When it comes to a resale center or whatever, they literally build pallets. They call them lots.
Yep.
And they build pallets of just a bunch of shit. And you look at it and you're looking through the plastic and the shrink wrap. You're like, oh, I see a freaking Samsung in there. I see an Apple product. I'll buy that for $400. And you don't know what you get.
He's exactly right. Yeah. Like you could for $500 get a whole pallet and it could be TVs, computer screens, blankets, just anything people order that
didn't make it.
Yeah. Didn't make it. Some of it could be a brand new TV. And the issue was the remote control. So maybe you get the TV and you just go get
another remote control.
Yeah. So it's just things like that. But yeah, they'll sell
these pallets. It's a business, bro. You want to talk about a business, bro? Oh, if my business fails, bro, I'm looking at this because I know the ins and outs of it already, dude. I'm like, because then you see a lot of that shit on eBay and people just selling shit on OfferUp. They bought it for pennies on the dollars and they're selling it for full price because they bought a $20 remote that was the TV was missing.
Yeah.
It's that simple, dude. It's just a lot of logistics, a lot of effort. It's not a hands-off type of business that people are doing, but it's, you make a fucking killing, dude.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And so you would have to have build all the network around. Dude, that's a whole other business in itself, but people are out there doing the damn thing, dude.
Yep,
they're
buying,
they're renting warehouse space, bro. Exactly.
There's two guys right next door to me. That's probably what they're
going they're on, renting warehouse space to fill their freaking their warehouses with 50, 60, 100 freaking pallets of stuff that they don't know what the fuck is. All right. Then they got to pay people to come in through, break that shit up.
That's
and
funny. Then that's funny. Like for the last 4 years that I've been here, there's been two units just shipping shit in here, like warehouse full of stuff. And I guess I just assume that I didn't really know what they're where they're getting that stuff from. Never came to me to ask them about that shit.
Yeah.
But now that you say that, I'm like, oh shit.
It's
okay.
True thing.
It's very much Storage Wars type.
Oh man, that's
setup,
crazy.
Right? Yeah. So like you're buying crazy. It's very similar, dude. You're like buying a storage unit that's being auctioned off, and you're like, fuck, all right, cool. I'll buy the unit. And you get to the unit, you're like, you know the reality show, right? Yeah. You don't know what the fuck you can find in there.
Yep.
But yeah, that's cool, dude. I love that shit, dude. It's awesome, dude.
So I'm done talking about Amazon.
No,
I don't
want to
talk.
Let's talk about his adventures.
Hector's falling asleep over here. We're talking about his job, and he's like, oh, I don't have to talk about this anymore.
Serial entrepreneur here is thinking his wheels are turning, bro.
Yeah.
He's maybe then I told him about breaking this shit down. Like, fuck that.
Unused warehouse space, right?
Yeah, exactly. As he got some brand new warehouse space, 100%.
No way.
Yeah, no, fuck that. Too much.
I talk about the travel aspect of it. And I was going to talk to Justin about this, but fuck Justin. Who gives a shit about him?
Wow. Justin, I never would say something like that about you. So if you ever want to do a one-on-one without Jeff,
We got the more interesting of the two.
Oh, wow.
If Justin is not willing to come into the studio and do this, then I'll take number
first
one
of all,
off.
Yeah. First of all, we've seen somewhat Justin half naked, so we haven't seen Hector.
Justin raised the bar with
that. Yeah, he did. Speaking of which, I want to talk about Iceland.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about the Nicaragua thing first, because that's how Iceland got spawned.
Yeah.
In a sense. So I guess I don't really know how to explain this. It's like a runcation group of some sort.
Runcation.
Yeah.
I love it.
Technically it is.
Yeah.
These guys went to 15 guys went down to Nicaragua and just
fucking ran.
Had a fucking great time.
Right.
Everything I saw. So you guys are trying to expand this and do other things, but I want to hear about how Nicaragua went, because you guys are going back again in November. Yes. No,
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know for sure on that yet. We haven't talked about that.
Okay.
But I think what this is.
Is it turning into a business of some sort, or is it just something where you're getting a bunch of people together and just all going to run? Like, I'm so intrigued by it, because I'm trying to figure it out from the outside looking in.
Yeah.
Because I know how your guys' brains work a little bit when you guys are setting this up and everything else, because it spawns from just a random idea, a random thought, if you will.
Oh. Yeah.
And then it just becomes something where it's, I know Justin said, we should do this. What if we just did this? What if we did this and we just went there down there ourselves and ran it? And all of a sudden, 15 people get brought into this. It's interesting to me how this has come together.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I agree. I think Justin is a very good person, very warm-hearted. And I do think genuinely he likes bringing people together.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And then I do think he loves challenges. I believe he has the idea. It all started where I think he wants to do this more and make it a business, as he's very passionate about it and he's very good at it. And so I've known that he had this idea to like basically put on these like run camp.
That was, maybe that's what I was looking for.
Yeah,
that
like
was
a runcation.
Term.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like runcation, run camp.
You need to start your own runcation company, dude.
No.
Yeah, no. He said no.
It's ahead. A lot of work.
Go ahead. Yes.
Yeah. His first idea was Nicaragua, and it was because the cost was very low, and there's volcanoes, there's mountains, just very nice. So when he came up with that idea, I was like, I'm down to go with you, and we can scout the trails and just make sure it's even feasible and do all that. So we did that, and we had a blast, and he was able to use that trip to fine tune like a legit itinerary. Like, he mapped out everything, where we stay, airport transfers, how we got to the trail and back, food all day long, breath work. I think we did yoga and just, I think everything. I don't think there was anything that was not planned that he didn't cover.
Yeah.
And I don't remember how many people went. I don't know if it was like 10, 12 or 15, but it was a bunch of groups. I went with him first to scope it out. Then in November of last year, yeah. I think we actually did it and brought everybody and then had an absolute blast. And yeah, everybody had a great time. So then I think always in the back of his mind was Nicaragua's fire because of there's tons of volcanoes. Then he wanted to go the other route, ice.
Ice.
So he's like fire and ice. And he had been to Iceland. So then he was like, I want to do Iceland. And I think the way it started was like, same thing. Oh, I'm down. Like we can go scope it out. So then he can make it an official event. But basically he was like, yeah, anybody can come. And so that's what this has turned into. So it's not for profit for him.
Yeah.
It's just more like a bunch of people getting together, a bunch of knuckleheads going, we'll all go and scope these trails and see what happens, what adventure happens out there. And my guess is if everything goes well, he'll make it a legit event at some point. That's why I don't know if he's going to do Nicaragua next or
somewhere
Iceland.
Else.
I know he's talked about Utah. So I think his goal is to continue on with these. And then he does like all the work for sure. Like he's good at it and he likes it.
I understand that that dynamic and he does all the work here. Yeah, so, yes. I'm like, you and I are right here. Yeah. Baby. Like, I'm just along for the ride.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I think I give him confidence.
Yes, 100%. Like,
as long as he knows.
But that's your role in this organization.
Yeah. Consult and just like he knows that even if it's just me and him, that I'll go and we'll have fun.
Yeah.
So I think it's like a win-win. So everybody else is icing on the cake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's doing these things, but really what's other than getting a bunch of dudes, it's just guys that go out?
It's open to women, but I don't know if it's the way we present ourselves as absolute knuckleheads.
Fucking creepers taking me to Nicaragua and Iceland, fuck that, I'm out.
But no women have showed up yet. Yeah. One of these years we'll get that to change.
So how's he getting people to sign up? Is it like, is there a website? Is it a thing or just DM him on Instagram or what?
He does have a website, but I think everything is more just like IG and just DMing him and just, he's very, you could not know him or be a stranger and you're like, yo, I'm down to go. And he would welcome you. Yeah. Come.
Yeah.
Here's all the information. Here's a WhatsApp group. Here's a whole deck he makes on everything A to Z. So he's getting really good at it. Like I'm very impressed and Yeah, it's just he's getting super solid at planning these kind of trips.
Damn.
I guess that's the thing. I look at that and I almost feel that you, like we said, the dynamic between it.
Yeah.
I almost feel like Justin is the person, the instigator, the guy that's got the ideas, but I almost feel like you're a little bit more the business side of it in a sense of, okay, Justin, we need to also look at this. Or we should probably look at some of these other things. That's the way I see it. Again, outside looking in, where I see you guys working together as far as that goes. But
yeah, like I would say it's his thing. I would say all the time he'll message me and run things by me, whether it's the pricing or the trip or the itinerary or the miles or the trail or the day in, the day out. I would say I'm 1000% like constantly like consulting with him or giving him my 2 cents. And so, yeah, I think I give him just maybe support and confidence as we'll have fun. We'll do it. It's going to be awesome. And then just giving him my 2 cents to fine tune it and tweak it.
Yeah.
But everything he's doing, we're a good team because I can't do that stuff. I would go crazy.
Yeah.
But I can like help guide it and shape it.
It's a role, dude. I don't even think it's, I got those relationships with Jeff and a couple of my friends that I'm about to do something stupid or this thing is happening to me right now. And it's like, hey, what do you think about that? And it's almost like people that have visions that want to do things. You don't know if it's just some crazy ass thought. And if you tell somebody that you really fucking trust and they're like, actually, I see the thing. He's almost like, okay, cool, let's go do this shit. Like, co-sign my shit because I don't know if I'm fucking that crazy. Like,
yeah. That's Justin.
Yeah, exactly. I'm that fucking crazy that if this may kill me or hurt somebody. Like, you think it'll kill somebody or hurt somebody? Like, no, go ahead, do it. All right, fuck it, let's go.
I think that's pretty much how it goes. And then we'll figure it out as we go. I know another idea he's had or we've had is just like, literally just getting some chairs and a canopy and then finding a hill and then going 24 hours a day, like inviting people and just almost like, how many hill repeats can you do?
Wow.
So just all kinds of just pushing yourself challenges. So yeah, we'll see if something like that ever evolves.
If it evolves, Jeff and I have talked about wanting to jump in on one of these things. Like, do we pull the trigger on the, you even said you were interested in doing it. Dude,
I would love to go to Iceland, to be honest with you.
Yeah, dude.
I would love to do Iceland, but unfortunately,
sure,
my schedule does not allow. I actually looked at that.
Yeah,
the dates that's happening. I looked at that schedule and I was like, fuck. Yeah. I just couldn't make it happen because I've always wanted to go to Iceland, and I thought it'd be really cool to, regardless, running 187 miles.
Not your jam. I think you're capable of doing that.
Not
right
really
now?
My jam. Yeah.
No.
Dude,
well,
I'm back to plantar fasciitis, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate plantar fasciitis.
I've had plenty of conversations about that, but that's, yeah, I looked at that and I was like, 187 miles. I don't know.
There's flexibility in that though, which I think is also cool. So it's 187.4 miles is what's planned.
Yeah.
There'll be two cars and he's planning it and giving it that the flexibility that if you, let's say day one is 44 miles or 37 miles or something like that.
Day one.
So it's each day, I think it's like 33 to 44 miles, something like that. But if you only want to do the front half or the back half or things like that, you can. So it's not like everybody has to do 187.4. It's just, this is 187.4. That's the max you can do. But it's pretty flexible on when you want to come in and out for the event.
Oh,
it's interesting.
Oh,
that's a cool way to look at it, though.
Like the first five, the middle five, and the last five. How's that?
Yeah.
are you just talking 5 miles?
Yes, 100%.
First 5 miles.
Yeah, the first
middle 5 miles, yeah, and last 5 miles.
Bro. Maybe 10. All right. Maybe.
Fair enough.
But five is.
That's pushing it, buddy.
I'll take five. That's 50 miles a day, dude. I'll take it.
That's good.
Yeah, bro. That's fucking solid, bro. It's more than what we're doing now.
Yeah.
It's almost half the miles each day.
Yeah, there you go.
Sure.
See?
Sure. Yeah. Speaking of long miles, I know you, did you just finish an ultra?
No, I was.
I know you did the crewing for the Last Man Standing. Dude.
Yeah.
How was that?
That was awesome. That was a really cool event too.
That was true,
probably,
man,
the coolest event I think I've been to.
That was a Nick Bear event, right?
Yeah. That was cool. Like it was just unique. I think they just did a good job of one. Did you see like how that finished? Were you tracking?
I was tracking most of it. And then I ended up having some events going on during the weekend and I lost track of it. And I knew it came down to the last two people and it was like terrible weather too, right?
Yeah.
Was that right at the finish?
Right. Yeah.
But I didn't really catch the last final parts of it.
Got it. Yeah. Like maybe it's the format that I really love. So I think I'll give it background. So Nick Bear put on a last person standing race. I think it was called
Go One More.
Yeah. And so the concept is you run, I think their lap. So I think he has a ranch that is his ranch.
Yeah.
And it's a 4.2 mile loop. So it started at 12 PM and every hour you have to finish that 4.2 mile loop. So if you finish it in 50 minutes, come to your crew and you get about 9 minutes of whatever you want, sleep, rest, food, drink, bathroom. And then you got to be back up at the line around the 59 minute mark and then back out at the start of the hour.
Holy shit. You did tell me about
that. Oh, wait. So you weren't allowed to utilize that hour for what you wanted to, right? So if you finished your lap in 50 minutes, you couldn't get into the second lap at 1:10.
No.
You actually had to be on the start,
correct,
on the start line, on the lap line at on hour every hour.
Yeah,
correct.
It's kind of like an imam setting. Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. Yes, every hour on the hour type thing.
Okay.
Just that concept was cool. So I have a friend of mine who was doing it. His name's Zach, super cool dude. And I think the way Zach explained it to me was when Nick Bear announced the event, I think he had, I think he said 100 slots that were for runners, and it was a lottery. I think he got 5,000 people or something like that.
That's crazy.
Holy
so
shit.
He picked 100. And then above that was all like influencers that were influencers or maybe athletes of his that were invited to come. So it was like a mix, which was unique of influencers in the running space and runners. So you saw all of these like canopies and then all of it felt like everybody had their own media team.
Like,
that's interesting.
Yeah. So then to me, it was very smart because he had Nick Bear had his own media team, but then he's all also leveraging, let's say 30
fuck yeah, he is.
People
yeah, he is.
And all their content people. So I heard, I saw this other post that I think over the course of that weekend, they got 50,000 followers.
Holy shit.
But I think it also helped that one of the kids, I think they said he was 19. I remember his face. And then this other guy, I think was from Germany. Anyways, I think maybe almost everyone went out. So my guy, Zach, he dropped at, I think, 102 miles. And he was like the 11th or 12th person. And then I think Cam Haneson dropped at 113. And then I think maybe some other people, maybe around 115, 120. And then it was those two guys. Yeah. One, I think, a 19-year-old and guy who came from Germany. And I think they went like another 100 plus miles.
Yeah, they ended up going like 200 plus miles is what they ended up doing. It's fucking so, ridiculous.
Yeah, it's insane.
And it just keeps going until the last man
drops.
Yeah,
so that's why.
How long was the venue supposed to go? How long was that supposed to forever?
That's what makes it cool. And that's why even when I go crew, I didn't know how long my buddy was going to go. So I didn't know.
I think having it on a private property is about the only way you can really do those type of events.
Because you don't have to worry about permitting and all that.
Well, yeah, because a permit could, if you're only like, five days, everybody's going to. You're not guaranteed that people are going to stop after 5 days. So him having that on his own property was a trip.
How was the course? Was it pretty gnarly or is it?
I didn't go on the course. They didn't let us, but it looked like it was just like a flat course on a ranch in Texas.
Wow.
That's interesting, man. Yeah, I saw it was him putting it on and I was like, God damn it. That's such a good idea.
Yeah. And I think the way they did it
but
was really cool.
But like, it's coming from somebody like Nick Bear, who's got ton of followers. He's got a lot of celebrity to him personally. And it's just like, all right, it's easier for him to put something like that on, I think, get some hype behind it. I didn't know about the influencer deal.
Yeah.
That's a smart way to go.
Yeah. And I felt like I've always said it, you know, myself, that I feel like the runners, the trail community, like people, the gyms, everybody, I think that's cool. And those are the cool people like in my head. And so I think Nick made that event so cool. It just like rather than the nightlife I go back to, or I look at this crowd and I'm like, those are the cool people. And he made everybody feel like super cool. It had a vibe. It was just really awesome. I think the way they put that on and then the way they showcased it on social media.
It's interesting.
What's the name of the event?
It was called Go One More.
I think it's called Go One More Lap.
So oof. Very interesting. But I think to your point and how he made the like a really cool vibe, how he made it like the cool kids, whatever it is, right? Like,
yeah.
I think there's a lot of that happening in the running community altogether nowadays. You guys are probably following enough of the runner groups or whatever that now that a lot of these run groups are now looking at it as it's a dating pool.
Yeah.
Right? There's more and more younger people getting into run clubs because it's more of a dating thing. You've got Travis Barker has his own 5K run deal. Diplo has his Diplo run club that they just announced for a San Diego event where somebody comes in like this. They've got DJs that are playing. Diplo is the headliner for that. And you get 5,000 people to come out and do this thing. And it's all of these different style of events and run groups now are like really making it this like a little bit more popular way to meet people and get out there and interact. And it's interesting how the sport is evolving in that sense. I see it as a race director. I'm like, I look at that and I'm like, God damn, that's a good idea. Like that would be really cool to be able to do.
Are we going to start seeing some different things out of ERS because of it now?
No, I don't have the celebrity that those guys have back in them. That'd be really cool though, but
Get Justin and Hector out there, man. Celebrity enough, man. They're right in the right circles, Jesus, bro. But, come on, yeah.
But it's cool to see those type of events popping up like that. And really, trail running hasn't had that, not yet anyway, that vibe of something. Because I think people are still hesitant with trail running from the overall arcing deal. I think the closest one that trail running has outside of Go One More is Running Man. In Atlanta. That's Jesse Eisler's event.
Oh,
where
Jesse Itzler?
Where he's got a weekend full of breath work, cold plunging, sauna.
Yeah.
He does a full on, I think it's a half marathon event, I think on a Saturday, but he's also got speakers. It's fitness based.
Yeah. I know you've seen
that.
About.
We've talked about that a little bit. And I think that's on his property too, or some property that he owns or his business partner owns or whatever. And it's interesting again how the running community's really tapping into that. It's really cool.
Yeah, I've seen some different takes on why that's happening and that it is happening. So I fully agree that the run clubs are becoming the dating.
It's funny though. We ask about the Tinder profile and all of that shit. We make fun and joke about the dating apps, but now it's the thing.
I think people are getting away from it. They want to just go back to that same vibe where meeting somebody face to face, dude. It's like the thing, dude.
I think they said too that the younger generation is drinking a lot less.
Yeah, I heard that too.
So where my generation got hammered all the time.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of
still getting hammered.
Yeah. Yeah. Still getting hammered.
We're all Gen X. Wait, we can.
I was a Gen X that's not getting hammered, I think, in my opinion.
So where I think our generation, a good period of it was nightclubs and bottle service and
drugs,
the casinos and free drinks and all that, where I think this next generation not going in that direction. So
have you also seen on that too? Have you also seen now that they've got coffee and chill? Have you seen those?
Oh, is that like the daytime rave?
So that's like the daytime rave now.
Yeah. What?
Have you seen this?
I have not seen this. So educate me, dude.
I believe it's called Coffee and Chill. And what they do, there's an actual group. They just had one in San Diego not too long ago. What they do is they get together at a coffee shop that's large enough to hold 100 to 200 people, and they have DJs there. It's again, they bring in cold plunges and mobile saunas, and people are just there to be able to hang out and do. It's more morning based, no drinking whatsoever. It's all coffee.
Well, wired.
And it's got, like I said, it's got the vibe of the DJ and the social aspect of it. And this goes to Hector's point of the generation now is not drinking as much, so they're finding more things to connect. Right. With this type of community. It's all 20 somethings and early 30 something. I don't see 40 and 50 year olds going to those things.
Yeah.
Because I think that's.
We would stand out like a sore thumb.
Yeah, I think so. But
it's fucking old creepers. What the hell are they doing here?
It is interesting how those type of things are popping up.
Yeah. The whole world is shifting, but specifically in the run community and those kind of things. Yeah. I just 2 weeks ago, Caesar, a friend of mine and his wife were talking about that, and they showed it to me. I was like, oh, I hadn't seen that. Yeah. But it looked like everybody was having the best time ever.
Vegas has got to have a lot of that stuff.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Vegas is the legit spot for everything out there. But I've seen a couple of them happen. There was one in PB, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, it was going to pop one up in PB. It's going to be in PB because that's where all the young kids live out and stuff. But it's interesting. That's the vibe of where this generation is starting. Fitness is going, the whole entire aspect of it. If you are going to do I think that goes down to the music festivals too. Like Coachella and Stagecoach now offer yoga and some kind of fitness aspect to it.
Ricky just came back from Coachella, right? Or
he came back from Stagecoach and he said the same thing. There's camping out there, right? So they have, you have like yoga spots or people that'll get together and do running, right? At those things. So a lot of that stuff is transitioning to more of the fitness space.
More health, holistic
stuff. Yeah, where's OTH tapping into that?
My wheels are turning right now, dude. Like, how can I get this for my 30 and 40 year olds that are going to my community, dude?
Yeah.
We're going to have Bengay parties or some shit like that, dude?
Yeah. I'd always, again, being an event coordinator, I look at that stuff and I'm like, God damn, that would have been a cool thought to have.
Yeah. I think Justin's trying to tap into that, like everything you're saying, but doing it in different places.
Yeah.
Like a traveling camp that does all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I think that's cool. I think that's just the way of the world nowadays. Like people are wanting to do more of that stuff. I mean, it's fucking great. Like I'm glad that
it's better.
I'm glad that it's going that direction versus going more of the
seclusion.
Yeah, yeah.
Video games and just staying inside and not being active. I think, what do you guys think? Why do you think that shift happened? Do you think
this generation's a little bit different? I think it's the social media. It's kind of driven a lot of that as far as getting out and being the influencer. Like how many influencers are out and about dancing in middle of the roads, just doing this type of shit, right? So it's the influencer drives a lot of that stuff. And I think it's spawned a little bit at a time. I feel like some of these influencers are so dialed into wanting to get likes and clicks and views that they're not going out as much because they're trying to find other things to go out and entertain themselves with. And that's driven more of these groups to come out and start doing more influencer-based stuff. As an influencer, I think going to a coffee and chill is going to get you more opportunity to go out and do some of that stuff versus going to a bar. And because you can't, when you're in a bar, you really can't get a lot of those good
bar
videos.
Scene is dying, dude, in my opinion. I think, hell, Bliss is on her way over to First Form right now, and they're doing their whole fitness extravaganza, which is like a carnival, and where you got a bunch of thousands of influencers that have over 50,000 to 100,000, 200,000 followers, and they're all going to be partying through fitness-based things. And it's like a thing. You're absolutely right. But where does OTH fit in for that? Hell, dude, where does ERS fit in that, dude? It's a pretty cool thing to see. But I personally think that fitness was changing 10 years ago. I think like COVID, people just realizing, I say this all the time. I know COVID was only 5 years ago, right? But I think COVID really opened up the world to go in. Fitness is just not something that we can do part-time now. Or I think people saw the importance of fitness in their lives when they got locked in. I think that's what's changing it, in my opinion. I think it was already going into a different direction for a lot of things. Well, for a lot of these,
I think it spawned a little bit. I think some of the Gen Z kids were a little bit too young sometimes for that, though.
100%.
I don't know. It's interesting. I actually like the trend of it. I think it's going
in the right direction for sure. Yeah.
I'd much rather see more of the coffee and chill type of vibe. I'd like to see these run groups come out and do different things like that. I think it's fun.
Yeah, to focus on health.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Just movement, right? They're realizing you don't need to be in a bar to have fun, dude. You can actually go. Your Rewind series reminded me of that too, dude. Like these small events that we're doing, you're giving somebody let's sit down, eat a burger, have some tacos, go run a 5K, dude. That's pretty cool too. That kind of stuff. The traveling ones are nice, but not everybody has access to them or the ability to be able to go to Nicaragua or Iceland. But I can go to ERS's Rewind series and go hang around with like-minded people, go run 5 miles and have a burger and chill.
Yeah.
And so those are the things that are super, super important to do. But as a community for us, that's what our number one thing is. Get in. I don't think I can do that. I don't think I can do a high rise or run of 10K or whatever the case may be. I'm like, I'll just stick around long enough. You will. And so that's one of the biggest things that we promote from us as an organization, to be able to go, dude, you got to challenge yourself. Got to have something on your calendar to go do, because otherwise fitness is just fucking boring, dude. Yeah. And it's painful and it fucking sucks. Who wants to go to 100 miles, 103 miles on somebody's freaking ranch? But if you're doing it with a bunch of other crazy fuckers, like that shit's fucking fun, dude. That's fucking awesome. Yeah. I have no desire to run 30 miles a day in Nicaragua. Yeah. But if I'm doing it with 5 other dudes that are fucking having fun and we're just having a blast, why the fuck not? You know what I mean? So I think that's pretty cool, dude.
Yeah, I had a blast on both. I think what's going to be even more interesting than this phase that we're in, that we're talking about, but the next one with just the increase of AI, robots, and automation.
That's scary, dude.
And how that's going to look for us.
I'm scared. I'm in full transparency. Like, I'm leaning into it, but it fucking scares the shit out of me, dude.
Yeah, you're a business owner. You have
it's
no
like,
choice.
Yeah, I have no fucking choice. You're absolutely right, dude. But it's, even now you're scrolling through social media, and I do this once a day. I'm looking at fitness. I only follow fitness people. And I'm like thinking, okay, what's trending out there? But now I'm seeing more and more AI images or AI, whatever they call, right? They're like, it's you, but it's an AI of you. It looks like Hector, but it's not, because you can totally tell them.
Speaking of which,
it's kind
of
creepy, dude.
Which platform do you use to do all of your AI images?
Oh, ChatGPT.
That's ChatGPT. Yeah. I can't get anywhere near some of the photos that you put together for that.
Yeah. I use ChatGPT.
Your descriptions must be off the charts as far as putting those things together.
No, it's actually very simple and it's funny. I just put one guy that looks like Thor and have him wear a Death Row t-shirt, Death Row Records. The other guy, have him have a beard and SD hat and have it say run Iceland. Then it spits it out.
I've tried a couple of times. Every single time you post one of those, I'm like, God damn it, Hector. These things look good.
Yeah, it's a trip, man, where AI is going with all that stuff, dude. And even now, I just got somebody reached out to me about AI imaging in demos, dude. Like in the gym. I would have TVs in the gym and I would upload a program and AI will spit it out and have AI images demoing the thing up on the screen. Like you could have your workout of the day, but then it's like you have five TVs that are filtering through, or four TVs that are filtering through of your whatever movements they are, which is creepy too, man. I think AI is changing the face of the world, not just back in logistics. So when we go back to your day job, and like that whole world is changing in itself, where we're not going to need people anymore.
I've already seen that. Yeah. I've seen whole floors where it would be 100 people is all, doesn't need anybody.
It doesn't need anybody now. And that's the part that scared the shit out of me. What's going to happen with these people? What are they going to be doing?
Yeah. And then I seen him in a car with no driver. Not too long ago, you posted that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What are we going to be doing as a human race, man? That's the question that I have. Go. What are we? There's no jobs.
Yeah. I don't know.
Where's it going to be? Like coaches are going to be robots now, or? I just think about it from that perspective. That's the part that really scares the shit out of me, dude. Because as a population,
we're still a ways away from that.
But I don't know. Are we, dude?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Dude. I'm with Hector on this one, bro.
We're a few years away from that.
Because you can go to chat right now. You can create a project.
Yeah.
And you could say, I'm planning to run 187.4 miles in Iceland. I weigh 210 pounds. I want to get down to 190 and I want to do XYZ. And I want to have be in the best shape for that event. And then, so then it saves it. And then, okay, give me my meal plan and my run plan. And then it spits it out. Then I could give it my Whoop data. Yep. That's telling my heart rate, my HRV, my strain level, but I didn't do steps. Plug it in there, say exactly what I ate, or even take a picture of the food. And say, okay, this is what I've done. I'm at 10,000 steps. I'm XYZ. This is what the weight scale. What should I do the rest of the day? And like, literally, it's like
giving you shit to do.
Yes, exactly what to do. And it's like, you can't pay for a coach to give you that like level of attention. And literally, you just keep feeding it every day what your Whoop says, what your.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And so you could totally do that now.
Yeah.
And these kids are doing this now. The number one thing that I get, talking to Grace and my staff and all that stuff. And they're like, we're putting together this 8-week program right now, where it's like the whole purpose of the program is just get people into our community and get them like onboarded in our community. Cause then you tell somebody to come and work out 3 to 5 times a day. You're like, oh, fuck that. I don't want to do that. However, if you hold their hand through it and they're like, make it a part of their life, like this is, they're stick around for a little longer. And that's the intention of the program. But as we're putting this program together and we're looking at it and we're like, man, there's so much that ChatGPT did for us. But you literally can do exactly that. The people that we're getting into the program right now, or that are clicking on our links to come and try to be part of the community, the number one, what do you think their number one need is? Community. I don't want to work out by myself anymore. Yeah. And so that's the biggest thing. It's like ChatGPT gave it to them. They're probably paying some online coach 52. Hell, some coaches that I know online are charging $189 for their programming with meal plans, workout plans, and all this other shit. And for 8 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever period of time, but they're done working out by themselves.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest highlight that I sell, is you're not going to work out by yourself. You're going to have people around you watching you struggle, even though you go to a big box gym and you're working around people that you really don't know. but people just want to be around other people. That's my biggest sell, dude. Yeah. And even though ChatGPT is going to take over the world and it's going to eliminate so many jobs, I'm safe in my current space because there's still human beings out there that don't want to be by themselves.
Yeah.
The concern that I have with all of that is I always have the product to sell because of what I've built or what we've built. But people aren't going to have the money to do it because they're going to have jobs, right? They're going to be gone. What the fuck?
They'll have to figure something out.
They're going to have to figure something out. There's going to have to be something, whether it be like you get a monthly stipend for being a human being. I don't know. Like, how the fuck are you going to, how is this going to change the world?
There's so much with that and crypto and Bitcoin and there's just a lot.
It's wild, dude.
Our budget deficit, inflation, affordability here. Yeah. It's like there's so much in flight that I have no idea how the next couple of years are going to go.
Yeah, dude.
Interesting. But anyway.
Crazy, man.
We won't keep you any longer. We'd appreciate you swinging in when you
run in San Diego. Yeah, dude, when you're in town. How long are you in town for?
Saturday, I go to Puerto Rico.
Yep.
Wow.
And then I'll be back for a couple of weeks and then I'm going to go to Portugal, Spain, and then from Spain, I'll go to Iceland.
Nice. So I'm going to Portugal next year, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I've never been.
We're going to Chicago next week. That's as far as where I'm going.
Nice. Should be good weather.
We just came back from Monterrey, and then now we're going to go to Chicago. But
nice.
Anyway, brother, thanks for stopping by, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you for stopping by. Always a pleasure, bro.
Yeah, it's fun.
This has been an international podcast transmission of No Fixed Agenda presented by Bubs Naturals. Music was provided by The Poor Dirty Astronauts with lyrics written by Matt Meyer. You can rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you find your favorite podcast episodes. NFA, over and out.